This is Papa Smurf. You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast with ODB and the Mayor.
You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast, brought to you by Custom Car Show Productions, which includes Orange Beach Invasion, Scraping the Coast, Sick Nick, and Slamber Party. Make sure you search on Facebook Scraping the Coast, Scraping the Coast Show on Instagram. Also, Sparkles Detail, Till, Tim and Tanya, ODB and the Mayor sent you. We out here. Peace.
According to Hell Track Bylaw Number 812.3 Bravo, to be eligible, a rider must be sponsored by a company with at least $50,000 in sales. Simply put, it means no $50,000, no race.
I think Crew and his friends have done something special. Real special. They have given themselves hope, and all your talk about dollars is killing them.
Yo, 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 it's Our Lifestyle, the podcast, episode 69, coming at you live and direct. What's going down, y'all? Airhead Nation, appreciate y'all listening. To any of the new listeners or anyone that's checking out this episode of Our Lifestyle podcast, first off, thanks. Appreciate you listening. Also, make sure you subscribe if you like this. Leave a rating. I know we'll probably pick up some subscribers, or you know, not just subscribers, but listens for this episode, because you know I met a lot of good people at Helltrack 2018, so we kind of rolled in there with a little bit of Break the Ice. It's a remix by someone by the name of Nitrous. Love, love, love that soundtrack. Love that remix as well. Man, I will tell you what, for anybody that follows me on social media, at BD94S10, that's like boy Delta 94S10, man, I really tore it up the last few days. I'll be honest, I had a great time. We're going to talk all about on this episode, Helltrack 2018, and how everything went down in Texas, just south of Dallas in Midlow. So first and foremost, it was several months ago that I caught wind. I'm in the Rad Official Movie Facebook group. I want to say it was there that I caught wind, as I mentioned, of this event that was kind of coming together. It took place at Texplex Park, and I will say they could not have done a better job. Really fantastic service. So all the employees there at Texplex Park, thank you guys so much for really accommodating all the Rad Army and the Rad fans worldwide that came in for this event. They're at 881 Miller Road. I think I'm going to say this wrong. Midlothian, or it's also, as some of the locals said, they call it Midlow, M-I-D-L-O. That's in Texas. The event was something that once I caught wind of it, I immediately knew that I wanted to do whatever I could to make it there. It was important because the 25th, which was damn pretty much epic, that took place, I think, right up in Cochrane, right where it was filmed. That event, I've seen videos from it. If you Google like Helltrack 25, there's even like a website that I want to say Jeremy Mosier put together. He's one of the main guys that really kind of keeps the Rad movie and the movement going. Damn, that was that looked like something that I missed out on. I kept saying I was going to go, and I didn't. Then fast forward 5 years, it was the 30th. I don't think it was as big and epic as the 25th, but they, you know, did a get together. And then now, 32, 33 years later, they, I guess, threw around some ideas, and there's this place called Texplex Park. They are kind of an up-and-coming place, what I heard there. It's kind of a newer city. And I guess from some of the guys I talked to there, you know, these ideas start getting thrown around. Man, yeah, what if we did this? Next thing you know, you got the gentleman out there that owns the two-door Blazer and a Corvette. They're like tribute builds to the movie, you know, down to a T as far as the look and appearance of the vehicles with the bikes on top of the Blazer. I mean, you just started having like all the stars aligning, and it was badass. So I catch wind of it, and I pretty much tell myself, boom, I'm going. I'm going to do whatever I can to go. So for those that have been listening, you guys know I kind of took on a new role at work, and it's been very taxing, very, you know, time-consuming, and I just had a week off for, you know, the family vacation. So I had canceled essentially my second week, and I had still Thursday and Friday off. So I'll give you the quick trip details. I essentially fly out at 6:10 Eastern time in the morning, land in Houston, jump on a flight to Dallas, land there basically right around 9 Central time, hour difference. Get the rental car. I almost forgot my luggage. I was like so stoked. I got my book bag on, and I go to get on the tram to ride to the rental car center, and I'm like, oh, snap. I've been sitting here 15 minutes or 10, 15 minutes, and I had to go back get my luggage. All that worked out. Get the rental car, head down to Midlo. I jump off the interstate about an exit early because I knew I was like, man, I got to get some food. I'm hungry. The event at noon Central is when it opened. But at like 10 a.m., you had people that were campers that started arriving. So, you know, I get off the interstate. I got about an hour, go to CVS, get some waters and whatnot. And then I hit this local burger joint, go on Google, which I always do. I'm looking at the ratings and boom, I find this place. Everybody recommends it. Go there, get a damn good burger, Texas style, get some fries with it. Head out of there and I start getting pretty close. I'm like, at this point, I'm 5 or 6 minutes away from Texplex Park. So it kind of reminded me going to some of the truck shows, which we primarily talk about on this podcast, you know, mini trucking. We talk about the auto industry, Lincolns, you know, everything cool. So we, you know, I get pretty close and, you know, it's kind of out, I don't want to say in the boonies, but it's a big ass field, you know, so you kind of feel like you're in the country a little bit. And I go down the main road. I kind of pass, you know, to the right, said, hey, here's the lodge, which I know that's an intricate part of this event. But I go straight and kind of hang around. And one of the ladies was up there and she said, hey, are you here, you know, for the event? I'm like, yeah, I'm the VIP. She's like, hey, go back the other way. Go up to the lodge and park. You know, you'll go to check in and boom. Yo, so I turn around, go back there. That takes me less than 5 minutes. Gave me a little bit of a photo opportunity to shoot some photos from like outside the fence area. So if you've been following at Our Lifestyle Podcast on Instagram, you've seen some of those posts. So as soon as I pull up, you know, I'm trying to snap a few pictures of kind of the early arrival. It's about 20 minutes to noon, and there's probably 50 to 70 cars in the parking lot. Pretty good amount. Everybody's in their rad racing shirts. I pull up. I look over. Boom. There's Bill Allen. He's got his white rad army shirt on. He's talking to a couple of the guys. I'm like, damn, man. This is like, it's literally going down. So I park the car, and immediately I get out of the car, and I'm already freaking sweating. I mean, there's no shade trees. I mean, it's like, this is legit. So, you know, I'm stoked. I got my book bag on. I walk over to, which is, I don't know, couple hundred feet to the VIP, the registration. Give them my name. Ladies are super nice. Boom, here's your bag. The bag, VIP bag, had, you know, a button in it that was like Helltrack specific. It had a sticker signed by Bill Allen. It had an old school, like kind of cheaper, but still badass Mongoose jersey. It had a Helltrack. At least my t-shirt was blue. I'm assuming they were all blue. It had some snacks in there, a couple little just, you know, trinkets, odds and ends and whatnot. And I'm like, damn, I mean, just for the fact that, you know, the stuff I got for free through the VIP bag, we'll talk about dinner a little bit later. I mean, just all of that alone was worth what I paid for the VIP event. At that point, I'm like, okay, if I turn my back to the lodge, you walk up and it's, I don't know, probably going to say this wrong, maybe an eighth of a mile, you walk back and that's where the track is at. And so it's a little, you know, bit of a kind of a walk between the two, the lodge. And I think it's, I don't know if they're like sister companies, but, you know, they host events and, you know, if there's a BMX deal, then, you know, they trolley you right up there like on golf carts and all that. So it's pretty much they're right next to each other. At this point, I'm like, okay, well, it's pretty much noon. That's when it opens. I walk up to the track and I can't believe it, dude. It's like I'm seeing the back of the track is where, like, you know, the riders would have been up on top of when they, you know, they're introduced in the movie. And you just see all the lumber, and I'm just like, wow. And there's not a lot of people there at this point because it's the VIP event. You know, this is the first day. Pretty much as I'm walking around, I go, hey, I know this thing's going to get, you know, crazier and crazier over the next few days, but, you know, I'm pretty damn early, you know. I'm a little bit early, and I'm stoked. So I walk to the right, and literally I'm walking behind the track, and, you know, kind of come around to the left. At this point, you come around to the left, and then there it is. There's the famous Hell Track wall in all its glory. Texplex Park did an amazing job putting this together. I mean, everything like is like spot on. And, of course, I was, gosh, if the movie came out in 86, I probably didn't see it till 87. Once it came out on VHS and, you know, my dad got the bootleg copy, you know, rest in peace, Papa Smurf, man. He brought that home and I watched that movie over and over and over again. So if it was 87, you know, I was like 8, 9 years old. So basically I'm sitting there going, damn, you know, this is it. And I wondered to myself, like, how was the staff going to be? Like, how was this going to go down? Like, were they going to be saying, oh, you can't walk on the track, you're going to mess it up, you know, you can't go up there, you know, this, that. Well, I mentioned I checked in at the booth. Of course, you sign your life away. You know, you sign a little thing because they're thinking most people are going to be riders. But for the most part, you're signing insurance-wise that, you know, if something happens, if you fall off the ramp or, you know, just like a normal waiver. So, you know, I knew what I was getting into. I knew I wasn't going to be riding anyway, so I'm like, I don't care. Everybody else is signing. So anyways, at this point, I'm still like, can I just walk around? Because remember, my main thing to go was the experience. I'm not good at riding bikes. I wouldn't dare go down that damn wall as much as you guys are laughing. I knew what I was going for. I was going to experience it, to meet some of the pros, you know, Martin Aparito, I think I say his name wrong, and Eddie Fiola, as well as Bill Allen. I knew there was going to be some other guys there. I just knew I'm not missing this. I missed the 25th, as I mentioned. I missed the 30th. I'm not missing, you know, the 32nd or 33rd, you know, whatever the hell. So, you know, I go there, and it's free, you know, whatever you want to do. So, you know, the lady gets on the intercom and she's pretty much like, hey guys, you know, get out there, check out the track. And, you know, a lot of the riders are kind of scoping it out. Because remember, this is the middle of Texas and it's hot. You know, you could see like cracks in the ground as you're walking and everything. So, you know, even though the track is well put together, you know, it's like scope it out. I mean, that's what I'd be doing if I was going to ride it. So they did have a sign that said 15 max up allowed on the ramp. But really, there never was that, you know, that many. You know, there were guys that go up there and they'd come down. So they built this like makeshift little walkway up there where they had 2x4s, you know, just kind of as your steps. And, you know, I kind of go up and I'm looking down. And at this point, I had to decide, like, do I start with iPhone 10 photos and then go to maybe some 35 millimeter on the Canon? And then I've got my 360 camera. So it's like, do I go to, you know, which one do I do first? And in my mind, I've got a bucket list of like 10 things I need to do in this give or take 12 hours I'm going to be there. Because remember, the next episode is going to be Scraping the Coast 2018. I essentially am there for the day and I'm jetting out, driving the Biloxi. So in my mind, it's like, you know, 10 things I want to do. And one of them was get as many effing photos as I could of the track. And just experience it, absorb it, take it in. So I go up on the track, and of course, like, boom, I'm taking the photo straight down. You know, it's that experience, because in the movie, it's like, man, it looks crazy, but now I'm standing on this wall that Texplex Parks put together. So here I am. I'm standing up there, and you got, I don't think Martin was riding at that time. He was chopping it up with people, but shortly after, Eddie Fiola, he's out there, I think, on a 29-inch bike, and we still haven't seen anybody drop in. Like, you know, people are, like, looking, they're like, damn, you know, and everybody's just taking it in. So within probably, like, an hour, hour and a half, you know, guys started, you know, dropping in. And, you know, some of these guys were really good. They pretty much knew what they were doing. People like Eddie Fiola kind of comes up, you know, the first time he's like, damn, looks so crazy. And I'm like, man, this guy, you know, he's a legend. Next thing you know, he kind of comes up the second round, and he just, like, bunny hops the 29-incher, I think it was. It just, I mean, they make it look like nothing. Just go down it, right? So just taking photos, I go down to the track, I kind of walk the track. I mean, at this point, there's only a few people riding the entire track. And I saw, as people posted photos on social media over the next day or so, I would see people that weren't there that would comment and say, where is everybody on the track? And what I experienced the first day is there was never more than four or five people on the track as far as riders. Most of the riders, you know, there were sometimes that last section, if you know the track, when the guys would kind of come around the last, like, main turn and they go up on the plywood, before they come up, there's a little small gap up by where Mike Miranda, you know, went out on the track. And then that's before you get back up on the big wall and drop in again. So you had guys that were, you know, like three or four folks and even some kids that were kind of trying to gap that and get back up on the top there. So, you know, that was kind of the feeling, you know. Everybody was just in awe, taking it in, you know, as hot as hell, talking about it. You know, I started slapping hands with people saying, hey, man, you know, I'm J-Dog from the podcast, and just chilling. Met a lot of good people. So that's kind of how the first few hours went. So now I'm kind of like, it's hot as hell. Okay, I'm going to keep saying that. It's hot. And I walk down the main drag and go back to the VIP area, get some water. They had those things where, like, you put ice in it and then you dump water in. And, I mean, it was ice cold, so it was, like, perfect. Got some water. And Martin Aparito's there, and one of the homies, one of the other BMX, I think he's, like, a BMX legend guy. He's there, and I you know, I approach him. Like, hey, man, what's going on? Want to give you a podcast sticker. So I give one both to the guys, and I said, hey, this is cool. You guys did it. I mean, they were super nice. Took a photo, which you'll see I'll share with this audio as far as promoting this episode. So talk to Martin for a minute, talk to the homie. I think his name was Kurt. I looked him up on social media. I think I know who the guy is as far as, you know, he's a rider and stuff. But so good people. At this point, I start kind of just moseying around, and I moved the car because I probably moved it about 50 feet knowing, hey, I'm going to keep walking back and forth. Well, you know, I fired that car up. And, you know, ice cold AC. I had a couple drinks that I had bought. So I'm like, okay, well, let me charge my phone, because at this point I'm already, you know, I've went live on Facebook, I think. So, you know, my battery's draining, and I'm like, I want to make sure I get everything. So I kind of jump back and forth between the track, walking down to the VIP area, like, or I should say the lodge, you know, seeing who's there, talking to some people. Well, I decide I'm going to go ahead, and I talked to one of the Texplex Park employees, and I was like, man, can I move my car right here? Because most people had gotten there so early that the parking was way up by the lodge, not over by the track. So he's like, dude, it's so hot. You know, we're all delirious. You know, do whatever. So real cool. Move the car up there. Well, I get to the point. I'm like, you know what? I need to keep charging my batteries. I just leave the damn car running. Keys in it and everything, in park, of course, and I just leave the car running for like a couple hours. I'm like, man, every little bit, I'm going back there anyways, checking my phone, charging the 360 camera, making sure everything is charged. So, you know, I'm going back and forth. You know, there's some vendors that are starting to set up, but, you know, the vendors were mostly there, you know, later in the day, and then, of course, the next the next few days. So, you know, bottom line, really just kind of having a good time talking to some guys. About halfway through, well, I'd say about 3-4 hours in, you know, I was talking to this one homie, an older guy, and he was from Kentucky, and, you know, we start talking, you know, he's on his BMX bike, and he likes to ride. He actually races, but he's not like some stunt guy or anything. We go back up to his Jeep, gives me some, you know, some water. We, you know, we're talking about just shit we like. You know, he's into collecting guitars and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And he was a really cool dude, gives me his business card. We talk about, you know, just different shit. So that was a little bit of a break. He had a nice tent right behind his right behind his four-door Jeep. And, you know, just, again, chopped it up. Everything's cool, right? So go back. I kind of decide at this point, you know, I'm going to go over, talk to some of the vendors, and then I'm going to go back and take all my 360 photos. So I didn't, you know, I maybe took 5 or 10 360 photos. I wanted to get some in between the track because when I put those on Facebook, so make sure you go to Our Lifestyle Podcast Facebook page. When I put those on Facebook, you're able to then take your phone and either move it around depending on your setting, or you could just kind of move it with your finger and you could see all around the track. So I got those, and then of course I take some wide angle photos, like, you know, looking right down at the track. I have one of my favorite photos was down in front of the wall where, you know, you just see Hell Track. You know, that famous wall, you know, with the white wall with the red lettering. So, you know, I've at this point I've taken all my photos. I've slapped hands with a lot of people, talked to a lot of people, and it's probably about 4:40, you know, going on 5. You know, I walk over, spend a couple bucks on tickets, and when you buy the tickets, you know, you can get the food, the water, you know, all those little things they have over there. Real nice setup. So one of the chicks is like, yeah, I think we're going to start shutting this down around 5-ish. So it worked out. Everybody was going to start heading up to the lodge. And at the lodge, I mentioned earlier about the dinner. So they had been posting photos on their Facebook page, and they have a real nice place. Inside, they had all kinds of tables set up. They had a big screen for the viewing of the movie, and then they were going to do the commentary. So everything was like just running right on cue. So around 5 or 6, we went up to the lodge area. For me, it was about 5. I think they shut down the track at about 6. So about 5 o'clock, we make our way back, and they have some makeshift ramps set up. They've got, you know, local guys. A guy from Houston was talking over the mic, and, you know, all these guys start doing tricks. And they were damn good, man. They you know, everybody was congregating over there. By then, they moved the check-in up by the lodge for anybody that was, like, late check-in. Started talking to a lot of people. They already had the red blazer unloaded, and that was right up by the lodge on the outside. And then the Corvette was on the inside. So, you know, chopping it out up there, right around the corner, which was like the back of the lodge, they had hors d'oeuvres, they had beer, you know, you buy the beers, they had water. I mean, it was like really, really cool. And then they had a stage there, which was another part after dinner, the Pipe Fitters. I mentioned that on the last episode, I think. That is the group that Bill Allen is in. And they were kind of, you know, they had that set up because they were going to play after dinner. So, man, at 7 o'clock, the doors open. And right on cue, you know, go sit down, get a table. I start talking to a dude from California. He's into Porsches and, you know, talking to him. It was funny. He pulls out his phone. He goes, do you know this Lincoln? I saw it on a trailer yesterday. Well, sure enough, it's a 64 Lincoln I know really well. I'm like, man, that's a small world. I said, it's probably going to Devious Customs to get a, you know, a Coyote swap. But, you know, talk to a lot of good people in there. So we get a good seat right in the middle, boom, straight on view to the screen up there. 30 minutes later, right on cue, same deal. The food, well, actually about 7:15, we get food. The food line's pretty long, but it moves quick. Everything is good. Brisket, all kinds of, I mean, just damn good meal. So around 7:45, they put the movie on, and Bill Allen comes up first, talks for a minute, then he invites Eddie Fiola and Martin Aparito up there on stage. And for those scoring at home, if you like Rad, you know that you know, he didn't do any of the stunts in the movie, but Eddie Fiola and Martin, they both were the main guys that did the rioting in the movie. So if you've watched it enough, I mean, you can see, you know, you can tell who it is and the different scenes. But it was always intriguing to me. I wanted to kind of hear the commentary. So, you know, we watched, and they cracked a lot of jokes. Bill Allen is big on making fun of the acting in the movie. And, you know, it's a cheesy movie by a lot of accounts by today's standards. But, you know, that nostalgia. And people could shout questions out. You know, they wanted it to be interactive, and a few people shouted things out and, you know, jokes and some of their friends and that thing, you know, that type of thing. The intro to the movie, though, I wanted to kind of back up here for a second. When the movie first came on, what they did is they ran like a commercial, if you will, before it. And it was a quick little deal about a guy named Jose Yanez, I think it is, Y-A-N-E-Z. And I'm going to post the information about this. I even told the guy, there's a guy there that is friends with a lot of these guys, and he is helping this guy, Jose. Hopefully he's helping him. He wants to do a documentary because he is the first guy to ever do a backflip on a BMX bike. And he's the first guy to ever do a backflip on motocross, as the way I understand it. So now the guy's an older guy. I think they said he works in construction. They flew him out there. Really nice guy. So the backflips in the movie, and you know, those are in the failed backflip, I guess, in practice. Those are Jose, and that's going to be a cool story. And I told the guy I'm going to donate some money towards it. I think it's a good cause. You know, he's an older guy, man, and they're just trying to kind of get him that respect that he's owed. I mean, he was real humble. I took a photo with him, and I'll share that. So, you know, that ran for about 5 minutes, and, you know, it was dope. So the movie gets going. I kind of talked a little bit about that, and, you know, I shouted a few things during it. One of the funny things was towards, I don't know, about a little way halfway through the movie, they, you know, talked about the guy Duke that played Duke Best in the movie. You know, he was a famous actor, played a lot of different character roles. And I yelled out, "Who runs the Duke Best Instagram account?" There's a funny, I think it's like Duke.best or something like that. But if you just search Duke Best, if you're a Rad fan, you will see that, you know, some mega fan has a Duke Best Insta account. And he posts a lot of funny stuff with you know, just different things, you know. So if you like the movie, you'll get a kick out of it. So, and then they repeat it on stage. They go, "Who runs the Duke Best? I don't know." And then somebody goes, "Is that you?" I was like, "No, it's definitely not me." So, you know, again, it was a cool thing. You know, they really said, "Hey, if you got any questions about the movie, don't go home without asking them. We want to, you know, we're here for you guys." You know, so it was cool. So that, you know, the movie ends. You know, Bill gets up, does a little bit more Q&A. For the most part, you know, the Q&A is kind of over, but, you know, he's you know, he kind of intros and says, listen, guys, we're going to go get ready. The Pipe Fitters are going to start playing. We are going to have a damn good time. You know, everybody's having some brews. The Corvette from the, you know, not from the movie, but the Corvette recreation is inside, you know, down to a T. One of the employees there that I met, and I met her on Instagram before I even got there, checking those hashtags, HellTrack2018, she actually dressed, she made an outfit that looked like Lori Loughlin's outfit from the movie, and I mean, good stuff. I mean, I was like, dang, okay, you know what I mean? And they were going to do, they had the costume party, I think it was like the next night, but she actually put it on for the first night. She, you know, it was, again, another cool thing, photo op. So a lot of us, including me, took a photo with her in front of the Corvette. So that was cool. at that point, I look at my watch and, you know, it's 10:20, 10:30. And I knew in my mind, I got to get going because I'm going to Scraping the Coast over in Biloxi. So a few more things I wanted to kind of share about the whole event. I don't go on Facebook much anymore. However, they did announce, and I never saw it, that the guy Bart Connor, who played Bart Taylor in the movie, they also secured him, and I think he came on Saturday. I would have loved to meet him. Now, for the Rad fans out there, they know, you know, Bart Connor, he was an Olympian, and he was born actually in, I think, 1958. He is well known, obviously, for Rad. He was in a couple other movies, but I think he has like a very successful place where he teaches, you know, kids how to be gymnastic or to do gymnastics and things like that. I've seen a few things on YouTube about him. So that, you know, that was another cool thing. On Sunday, I ended up watching on Facebook Live. So again, big ups to Texplex Park for the social media aspect of their business. I didn't watch all the qualifying, but they did qualifying runs, and then they did a final race, like who was going to be the winner of Hell Track. And they had a couple of the pros that came out. So the one chick that's a pro, she dressed in the Rad outfit, right? So all red. She had her red helmet on, and I think she's sponsored by Oakley. She had like her Oakley sticker on it. And then there was a dude, there was someone else that dressed like Bart Connor. He was in the yellow. Or Bart Taylor in the movie. So, you know, you had some mega fans there. You had some pros there. Not one person was like, oh, get out of here. You know, you don't know what you're doing. I mean, everybody was nice, you know. It was a mix of, you know, dorks there. There was a mix of, you know, the geeks, the damn badass riders. You know, people like me, super fans. Someone that just came to experience, people that were going to ride, people that probably wanted to ride but were scared to ride. I mean, it was a damn good mix. Something else that I want to share is when I first got there, I told you I was taking some photos and whatnot. I took a couple videos. Well, when I got out of the car, there was like this one guy. I was like thinking, man, I thought I was a fan. Like, you know, he literally came, you know, he had his Crew Jones bike. He had his jeans on. He had the red bandana tied around one of his legs. He had a denim jacket on. I don't think it had cut-off sleeves either. And I'm thinking, dude, it is hot out. Denim jacket. He had all this, like, printing on the back, like, of Bill Allen, you know, like, as a teenager, you know, as Crew Jones. And, I mean, he just was decked out. He had the hockey helmet, you know, for anybody that is a huge collector. You know, there's a special model number for that specific hockey mask that is worn in the movie. Shouldn't really be worn, right, to ride, but, you know, it's worn in the movie. BMX Museum, if you go on there, you actually, there's a thread where the guy tells you what model number it is. A lot of collectors have it. A lot of them have it signed by, like, Bill Allen. So he has that on. I mean, he's literally, I go, this guy, I'm just looking at him, I'm thinking, man, he's the biggest Crew Jones fan ever. But, hey, that's cool. You know, again, there's a good mix of people there. There was a dude, hopefully he listens to it. He follows me on Twitter, I found out today. Good dude that I met. He lives in San Francisco. He's, like, in the tech industry. And then I think it was his brother lives in Ohio. So his brother looked pretty young. He had a cassette tape that Bill Allen signed. So we'll talk about that in a minute. You know, so the point that I'm making is you got this super fan. Well, In between one of my runs to get water, a guy goes, man, did you hear what happened, man? This guy over there. I was like, no, what happened, man? He goes, man, this the kid, the super fan, I guess goes up on the track, you know, on the top. And some other guy's like, hey, you gonna roll in? And he's like, no, I'm just, you know, kind of getting my thoughts together. And he's like, oh, okay, you mind if I go? And the other guy goes, whatever. So a few minutes later, the super fan, he gets up there, apparently. I don't know if there's video. I haven't heard of it. I don't know if there, you know, who saw it, you know, whatnot, but guys definitely saw it. From what I understand, he goes up on the top, the main, because I didn't mention this. They did build a smaller drop-in at the end, which was cool, because a lot of the good riders, it kind of got their feet wet going down the ramp, but it wasn't the full, you know, effect. So from what I understand, he was on the high part, and even if he was on the low part, either way, it's still freaking straight down. Well, they say that he goes, he finally, you know, decides, hey, I'm going to go, and he goes down it. And the guy that explained it to me, he was like, I don't know what the hell he was doing. He, like, pulled back like he was going to manual down it, and I guess, like, he just bit the friggin' dust, like, bad. And the way it was explained to me is, like, his head's all gashed open, and, I mean, I didn't really know what that meant. It's like, is it, like, how bad? You know, that's not the best description, but that's what the guy said. So we did hear the ambulance, and the ambulance comes. They had one there. And apparently that kid's taken away. And I say kid, he looked like he was in his 30s. He, Bill Allen, said at the very end, during the Q&A, someone asked a good question. They go, hey, to the pros, do you guys have any tips for us to drop in? And Eddie, I think, spoke up and goes, yeah, well, here's what you want to do. And he goes, you know, and then someone goes, man, can you give us some tips tomorrow? And he goes, yeah, maybe we'll do like a little tutorial on, you know, what you need to do to drop in. So I'm thinking, okay, Bill Allen's not going to say anything. Well, he goes, hey, guys, I also want to mention, you know, there's been a couple injuries today. And one of the guys is in the hospital still, and he has internal bleeding. So I don't, you know, obviously that could be a multitude of things. I'm not a doctor, but I was like, holy shit. So he pulls out his phone and he goes, you know, let's do a little video for him to get well. And, you know, he kind of goes around the crowd and everybody's like, yeah, get well, man. I haven't Googled, you know, to see if there's any information out there or whatever. But, man, apparently this was, like, pretty bad. So, you know, for any of my friends rising and going, man, you should have got out there and stuff. And I did get out there on a little scooter. I'll talk about that. It's kind of funny. But I knew. I mean, you couldn't have given me 10 grand to ride down that thing. I mean, I know I'm not good. I know that I would have fucking hurt myself, and it's not worth it. So, you know, to all the riders, whether you're a young kid, older dude, a pro, big ups, man, because you guys made it look super fun, and I really enjoyed watching you guys. Now, there was a guy that I met there from North Carolina, I think, and he was the only homie. He had this, like, badass rad scooter, and he freaking went down it. Like, I was sitting there, and I don't know if I have it. I don't think I have it on video, but I'm sitting there with the wide angle lens, and I'm doing some stuff. And all of a sudden, he kind of comes up and just goes right down it. It's like a stand up scooter. I'm like, holy shit! Well, this guy's like a hardcore scooter rider, and I mean, he's getting after it. So a little bit later on, you know, in between the drink breaks, I was like, man, dude, let me ride this scooter real quick. He's like, yeah, man, no problem. So I get on that thing, and it's probably the lamest performance out there. Like, he's like, man, go up the wall, man, you know, a little bit. and I'm like, you know, going like two inches up the wall. And I'm like, ah, oh, man, I can say I freaking rode the track. But it was cool, man. That's the kind of people that were there that day. They had people riding old bikes. They had people riding new bikes. There were bikes there just for show. They had a vintage show over the weekend. I mean, it just couldn't have been any better. The only thing that I would add is it would have been cool, I guess, if they would have had bleachers there, but I realize that they probably don't have those in general at their facility. So if you remember Rad, the movie, like on the left side of the wall, I guess if you were looking at the wall, the left side I think is where the bleachers were at from the movie. And not to be, you know, like movie accurate, but just for people to sit down. And then, you know, I could see them down the road, although they did have a tent that was catty corner, to the track, the tent, you know, there wasn't a lot going on over there except for where you could buy drinks and stuff. They did have these, like, I think they're called permacool or something, where they pour water and ice in those and then they blow. And I mean, those things were awesome. But there wasn't a lot of shade, so it's too bad that they can't have more trees. But, you know, again, I know that's nothing they control. So, you know, I tell you, I would not have missed it for the world. It was definitely badass. When the last thing I'll kind of talk about was, well, last couple things. When we walked up towards the lodge, that's when, you know, at that point I hadn't, you know, got these guys to autograph anything. And last couple years, I met a guy on Instagram, and he's up in Canada, and he goes by Rad Boy Productions. No, Rad Boys, B-O-Y-Z. And he's just a hardcore dude, family guy that puts together bikes. He sews. He makes the decals. He does it all. It's kind of hard to find his channel on YouTube, but if you go on Instagram and look up Rad Boys Productions with a Z, you can click the link in his bio, and I think it still takes you to his YouTube page. That's how I found it. Well, he had made me a set of what he calls his rad pads. So it's the red with the yellow kind of tape for the frame, and then it's got the handlebar or the neck piece up there too. And he does a little heat transfer thing that says like Rad BMX or Crew Jones edition or something like that. So, you know, being the fan that I am, you know, I took those pads out there. I had Bill Allen sign the one that goes around the, you know, the neck up there. And then I had him sign the book that I bought a few years ago. So give it a shout out. If you go on Amazon and look up, you know, Bill Allen Rad, you'll see the Kindle edition is only $9.99. And it's a cool read, especially if you're a fan. My Rad Career is the name of the book. Kindle edition, $9.99. 61 reviews with perfect 5 stars, which I think is cool. I don't know if that means that he doesn't have any physical copies right now. You know, sometimes books go, you know, they're in print, out of print. But I only paid 15 or 18 bucks maybe. And I really, really enjoyed the book. You know, it had some cool insight to, like, just his career in general, how, you know, he started on, I think, a TV show back in the day. And, you know, George Clooney was on it and, you know, that type of thing. And he talks about his friendship with, was it Brandon Lee, I think, that passed in the movie, Jet Li's son, I think his name was. So it's a cool book. Definitely for any fan out there, you know, someone that was a big 80s fan, definitely want to, you know, read that one. So I had him sign that. He signed the inside cover. He signed the rad pads. He was really cool. Then I wanted to get a Martin Aparito and Eddie Fiola. They signed the other pad that I had that goes around, like, you know, the frame. And they signed it where I wanted them to. That was cool. You know, Martin was standing there watching the guys doing the tricks, because at this point it's like, you know, 5, 6, you know, we're, I don't know, a little after 6. And he's kind of standing there in the shade, and I go, hey, man, you know, I wanted to meet you. You know, I on Instagram, he does a thing called HB Tuesdays, I think. It's Huntington Beach Tuesdays. And I go, yeah, you know, I always see you on there. And I go, who, you know, did you, he's like, yeah, I started that. Yeah, it's HB Tuesdays altogether. He's got 122 followers, and man, I mean, they go out there like straight 80s, man, and just get after it. I'm looking at one of the photos from January 23rd. Guy's got a GT shirt on, and Martin Aparito's there, and they're just going crazy, man. I mean, these guys are legends, and they're out there in Huntington Beach, and you know, so I'm talking to him for a few minutes, and I go, hey, would you mind signing something? Oh, no, that's why we're here, man. You know, whatever you guys want, you know. And then that prompted some other guys. They kind of came over, and they had some things. I met a couple dudes. One gave me a whole bunch of stickers. He makes stickers. And his name, I don't have my phone in front of me, but it was like Poor Boy Steve. And he had like a weird spelling on it, so I'll have to share a photo if I remember. But he was mad cool. He lives like up in the, I don't know if it was Illinois, but he makes stickers for the whole rad thing. He's a big fan. And he had one of the old BMX Plus magazines where they had a preview of the movie coming up. So, you know, Bill Allen signed that. I talked to the guy, and I'm hopefully going to have him on soon, that has the Blazer and the Corvette that he built his tribute rides. He was in BMX back in the day, and his one son that's older isn't so much into it, but he's got a younger son, and he started kind of like a lot of us, buying parts, throwing some bikes together, and before you know it, his younger son's like, man, this is cool, I love it, Dad, and they kind of started doing some projects. He's got the he's got the Christian Hollings tribute bike from the movie. So obviously, like, you know, he kind of put that together, and then he's probably thinking, man, you know, if I put that bike together and I got the Crew Jones bike, I might as well do the Blazer. So he did the Blazer. And he's like, well, if I got the Blazer, I better do the Corvette. Those are like the two, you know, principal vehicles in the movie. So I talked to him. I took a bunch of photos. He, you know, is interested. He wants to come on building those two vehicles. Then he kind of got in to these different groups where they build tribute vehicles for movies. And then he met somebody, the other person that he met, or some of the other people that he met, they have tribute vehicles for the other Hal Needham movies. So Hal Needham, just to kind of be clear, he was the director of the movie, and he's really a legend. Bill Allen talked a little bit about his book there, which I'm going to end up buying that. He was a stuntman for years. He invented all kinds of different techniques, I think. He was born in, I think, 1931, and he passed away, you know, about 5 years ago. But Hal Needham, for those scoring at home, Smokey and the Bandit back in 77. I think there was a movie called Stroker Ace. There's a bunch of different ones, like Cannonball Run 2 comes to mind. I mean, there's a couple other, maybe not as well known, but like if you think back to, like, if you look on IMDb, I looked on there before, and he's credited with tons of stunts and lots of different movies going back to the 60s, I think even some of the 50s. But, you know, he was a legend, and he filmed that movie. And Bill Allen said he was really proud of it. So, yeah, you know, just, I mean, lots of cool shit. I mean, lots of people there that, you know, I got to meet. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. They didn't have a lot of stuff on sale. So I say that there was one vendor that is friends with Bill Allen, and he did have banners on sale. He had a couple tribute posters. One is fan artwork that he got the approval to print like 100. Was it 100? No, I think it was 10 of them. Some really, really badass artwork. And then Bill Allen signed all the pieces. That stuff was for sale. It wasn't too bad. It was like the banners. Stuff went from $60 up to like $100 or $150. And we're talking like the original movie poster that was a reprint, which was the big one, signed. You know, that was, I don't know, maybe $80 or something, which was fair. But they didn't have, I think the one thing they maybe missed out on, and I don't know if this was planned this way, I think that they could have maybe had more merchandise. I know if you go on Facebook, Bill Allen, and I stumbled upon this. I'll be honest, I did not know this. I found this out at the event on Facebook. You know, there's tons of groups. But Bill Allen has really gotten behind the whole Hell Track, and I think he has that trademark now. I don't think he could trademark the whole rad thing. I know there's a lot of litigation with that or something. I mean, it's tied up where... That's why the movie's not on DVD. I think a lot of the fans know. It's not on VHS either. And a lot of it has to do with Talia Shire or whatever and the company that owns it all and, you know, whatnot. So I say that because I think that they could have maybe had a little bit more merchandise and that type of thing. But on Facebook, if you type in Rad Army, Bill Allen manages that group. And I think it's like a paid group, to be honest. I know there's... Looks like I'm looking now, 161 members. They do about 10 posts a day. It says Dallas, Texas, official Rad Army is a members-only group. This is a behind-the-scene page for all things Rad-related. So if you try to click into that, that was the first group I ever saw where you have to answer questions. And it is actually a paid group, which, hey, is cool because, you know, Bill Allen is continuing this thing. He's keeping it alive. And I think it's pretty cool, you know. If people want to pay to be a part of something like that, I got to pay if I want to be in the Lincoln Continental Owners Club. You know, it's just, it's kind of one of those things. So I did want to mention that the Rad Army's out there. And for 30 some odd years for the movie to keep going, it's pretty fucking cool. So lastly, some of the questions I've received, which would encompass how long... will the track be up? Someone had asked me that. From what I understand, like, this was like a one and done. Bill Allen did mention during the whole event that he is hopeful that these events will be, you know, maybe throughout the world, throughout the United States. I think that there is enough cult following that he could potentially do like another one next year. I told him, hell, man, this could be like a, depending on, I mean, Texas is hot, but, you know, he could have maybe did this at another, in another state. You know, you camp out. I mean, it was a badass event. So I think there's that opportunity. I kind of answered this one. Did I ride it? I rode it for a minute on a scooter. So I know it's lame, but damn, you know, that's the way I went. You know, I did it. I couldn't get hurt because I had to be a scraping the coast. Did they have stuff for sale? Again, I kind of hit on that. There was a vendor. It's like BMX Flight or Flight BMX on Instagram. I was looking forward to maybe buying something from him. He made these little boxes that had like old school printing on them. Flip it open. It had rad pads. It had stickers. He was just setting up like at 4 or 5 o'clock on Thursday. So I was like, well, I'm not going to get any of that stuff. I did buy a few things. I bought a banner and I bought a couple things, you know, small stuff. And then another one, you know, am I Crew Jones? Hell no, I'm not Crew Jones, you know. Crew Jones was the man in the 80s. I think he's still the man. 1986, what a great movie. Brings back a lot of memories. The soundtrack alone is 80s cheese, and I love it. It's great. That with my, you know, Caddyshack 2 and plenty of the old shit I love to listen to. It's funny. I'm like the most hardcore gangster rap, 90s, Compton's Most Wanted, MCA, Dr. Dre, SIBO from Sacramento. I listen to like the hardest shit, but man, I can put on some 80s and just jam out, especially if it's a party in the summer, you know, drinking some summer shandy, chilling in the pool, swimming in the lake, thinking I'm up dad, Papa Smurf. So I did also take a little card out there with my dad on it. You know, I lost him about 8 months ago, and I think of him all the time. If it wasn't for him bringing this movie home on VHS and probably, like I said, maybe late 86, early 87, I would not have ever went to this event. I wouldn't have known anything about it. I wouldn't have owned a Mongoose growing up. And that means a lot to me. He had a friend that he worked with for years. I think his nickname was Big Tiny Little. And the guy back in the 80s, he had one of those big supposed satellite dishes. And he would VHS, you know, like, you know, do the illegal deal. And he'd sell them for $5 or whatever the hell. And I don't know if the guy just gave one to my dad. And my dad's like, oh, man, he said you'd love this movie. And like I said, I told you my age at that time. And the rest is history. So, you know, it's cool. It's a little nod to the 80s and to my childhood. And, you know, I had the homie Jimmy Graham. You know, I was texting him earlier at Jimmy's Rod and Customs. And, you know, he was riding BMX. And, you know, he could actually do shit I couldn't. But he was like, man, I wish I could have went. And, you know, that's one guy I wish that could have went out there too. I mean, he's a hardworking guy. He takes no time off. But with that being said, hopefully you enjoyed this. Typically, the normal listeners know Our Lifestyle, the podcast, is hosted by Miggity Mike, the mayor, and me, Old Dirty Ballard, a.k.a. ODB. And we started about 3 years ago. We continue to touch on everything cool, everything, at least in our mind, that's cool. And if you like it, leave a rating, subscribe. This one, I'll be honest, my voice is a little hoarse. I've been talking for 4 straight days. It's Monday night, and I'm pretty exhausted, but you guys know, man, I keep the pedal stomped to the metal. We rolled in with that classic rad. I think we're going to roll out with some rad. Hopefully you've enjoyed Helltrack 2018. I'm going to say this episode is sponsored by my friends, our friends at All Time Low Magazine. Go to atlmagazine.com and subscribe. It's 4 issues per year, 1 every quarter or so. And they are good people. We're going to continue to give them some ideas on some badass vehicles to feature. I'm hoping I might be able to feature one that might have some badass BMX bikes in it too. So, you know, Rich and Beth Waterman over at All Time Low Magazine, they're good people. And lastly, make sure you go to hammeredweekendwear.com. That's HAMMERD weekendwear.com. These shirts, folks, are $20 a piece. Badass artwork. You could not buy a shirt for $20. That's this nice. You got to pay shipping. But order a few shirts. Make it worth your while. And add OLP or Our Lifestyle Podcast into the notes. And the homie, Ron Perkins, will hook you up. I know he will. So, if you have any questions about Helltrack or Rad Movie, hit me up. I don't know it all, but I know probably 95% of it. And I did have a few other things I learned there. Don't have time to share them all. Thank you guys for listening. Our Lifestyle, the podcast. Gotcha. Yo, yo, it's ODB. So before we roll out, I did do a little bit of audio on site. For anyone that was kind of hopeful that I would be able to do some interviews with the local legends or the legends in general, those guys were pretty busy. My time was pretty tight, but I did secure some good contacts, and I'm hoping to bring them on. Before we roll out, I did want to mention a couple things. So it's BMX, T-I-N-C-T, that's BMX Tinct, like extinct. They are the folks that we're kind of setting up. I mentioned the vendor on Thursday, so check out their Instagram. They've got some pretty cool stuff. He did this collector box with some pads and that type of thing. I thought that was pretty bitchin'. Also, there was a homie there that had an S10. It was the only mini truck there. I talked to him a little bit. I'll be posting some of his photos. I'll tag him. He's got a badass old school S10 square body and with a crazy nice motor swap, but it looks all original, and that was badass. Let's see. Also, the pro that I mentioned is, I think her name is Caroline Buchanan, and it's C-B-U-C-H-A-N-A-N 6-8. If you look her up, she's got some epic photos. She had the red outfit, Crew Jones out, the look and feel. She had the old school bike. And she had the helmet that I mentioned with the Oakley sticker on the visor. So pretty badass shit there. She had some real good stuff. Another guy I follow, you want to follow him. He was out there too a little bit. He had a pretty cool video, or excuse me, a photo that he posted. It's underscore Matt OC underscore. So Matt OC with an underscore in the beginning and end. And he said, this is probably the most epic image I've seen in a long time. I first got into BMX after seeing Rad in the 80s, Crew Jones, yada, yada, yada. To this day, I still have friends who've raced with. The fact that they made a replica track, and my friend, actually, I apologize, he posted the photo, but it was the girl that I just mentioned. So it's her going down with the Crew Jones outfit, if you will, the red, and then there's someone with the Bart Taylor outfit on. So that was pretty damn cool. Also, I mentioned Poor Boy Steve. What a good dude. Actually, go, it's a P-O-O-R, Poor Boy, B-O-Y, Steve, but it's S-T-E-E-V. Now, he is, a collector. He's got some really cool badass BMX stuff on his page. He also does the $10 pack that I mentioned. There's a link in his bio, and he's got 2, 4, 6, 7 stickers in it. So Make America Rad Again, Go Balls Out, Hell's Track Official, or excuse me, Hell Track Official, Hell Yeah Track, Me, comma, I Ride For Me, Crew Jones Is Rad, and then he also has a little trike that is decked out with the blue tires, the 33 number plate, and the Crew Jones pad. Dude, very cool. If you like the culture, if you like to see some pretty badass stuff, follow. It's all together. It's Poor Boy Steve. He's a writer, artist, entrepreneur. He founded Poor Boy, Allied, Mutiny, and more. So, you know, good dude. I'll share some of the photos of the stickers that I got. Also, another cool dude to follow. I didn't get a chance to meet him, but it's Crew, Bart, Rod, Rex, Helltrack all together. So, you know, you got Crew Jones, Bart Taylor, then Rod and Rex were the twins in the movie. Check his page out. They actually I think it was them that did a family. Let's see. Maybe it wasn't the family. It was them. They dressed up, and like the wife dressed as one of the girls in the movie that were with the twins. He dressed as the cop. Then he has two kids, one dressed as Crew, one dressed as Bart. That was fucking badass. His son had the bandana tied and all. Definitely epic. He's got about 1,000 followers, but I tell you what, man, he's got some cool stuff. Couple of rad bikes, the Crujone replicas. So check that out. Also, another professional cyclist, and I want to say that I saw this guy if he was there Thursday, but Barry Nobles 95, so BarryNobles 95. He has a pretty badass from 5-6 days ago, a photo of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys coming down the wall and a couple guys up on top getting ready. Almost like, you know, that might have been in the middle of the race, I think it was. He's got a photo of him way up on this one wall. Definitely cool stuff. I wish I could do the things that he does. And then who is Dylan? Who is D-Y-L-A-N? I think this is the homie Dylan Stark that won the race for Helltrack. He's holding up the trophy. So I thought that that was badass. He also has a couple other photos that you got to see there. And let's see, Josh Holt, J-O-S-H-H-U-L-T. He rides BMX, has an epic photo. It isn't every day you get cheered on by the first man to do a backflip. That was Jose that I talked about earlier. So he did a backflip at the Helltrack, and you see Helltrack in the background, the white wall. And Jose is underneath, you know, giving him kind of a thumbs up going, you know, stay rad. So, I mean, epic stuff there. And, you know, I mentioned poor boy Steve. He's been posting some behind-the-scene photos of the original movie. And this was pretty cool. He posted it Thursday. He mentioned behind the scenes from filming of the original. And he made a good comment. FYI, there was never a full race on the track originally, only spliced together scenes. He mentioned this past weekend was the first official full lap race, and it was awesome. Hell yeah, that is rad. So, you know, a huge cult following with this film. Listen to the audio that I took on site with a couple of the peeps from H-Town, some good folks. And like I said, enjoy this rest of the episode. We'll talk very soon. We're going to have episode 70 and 71 out. Scraping the Coast. 2018 was in the house. If you guys are listening and you like it, subscribe. We appreciate y'all. We got you.
Having a damn good time. Our lifestyle, the podcast, is representing. Seen a lot of legends out here, a lot of locals, some people from Houston, and everybody at Texplex, the facility have been great. We got a homie here that I met earlier. I think he's from, you said, Houston, right? And I just wanted to give a shout out and tell us your name and just a little bit about yourself, whatever you want to share.
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm Tyler. We're from Houston. I'm out here with a couple buddies. It's hot as hell out here, but we're riding. It's a beautiful place out here. I thank everybody that got it together for us, and glad to meet everybody out here too, man. It's awesome. I'm riding it's a stolen Cherry. She's not really Cherry anymore. It's a Tiffany blue all the way out, but it's a Tiffany blue and chrome all the way through. I love it. It's actually my girl's bike, but I ride it more than she does. So. this is Troy Tyro. He's on this nice Haro here. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it? A little bit.
No. Tell us a little bit about his Haro though.
It's an old school replica, but it's a new gen. So yep. It's got sick wheels on it, sick cranks, sick paint on it. It looks fucking fantastic. Nice. Yeah, everything's beautiful chrome to the nine, and it's a complete replica, almost to spec exactly, of the old school frame. So it's sick,
cool,
man.
That they did that.
Yeah, it's awesome that Haro got a chance to do that. A lot of bikes out here, man. A lot of originality in these bikes too. So it's cool to see it.
When did you hear about this event and know that you wanted to come out?
My buddy Troy's actually an old school rider, so he does a lot of these events, and he kind of hit me up about it a couple months ago, and I was a little shy on the thought of it at first, and then I got the money together and came out, man. Can't regret that kind of stuff. It's awesome out here.
Yeah, and you guys are representing from H-Town, right? Houston?
Yes, sir. Houston, Texas, all the way.
What's up with them Astros last year? They came through, didn't they?
And then the Astros this week, too.
I know, right? Well, listen, man, we appreciate your time, and I hope that you guys have a good time, and hey, appreciate the Texas hospitality from y'all.
Yeah, dude, appreciate
the
love, man.
Yeah, man. So everything is good out here. Like I said, it's hot. You guys heard me say that. Thank you, man. Plenty of the little videos I've done for Instagram. Got Eddie Fiola out here. Martin's out here. You also got Bill Allen. A lot of guys. Dude, couldn't be better. I think this is like our Woodstock, man. I think the old school, my Papa Smurf would have said, hey, it is nothing like the original Woodstock, but it's our Woodstock. So it's good times, and just want to say, just keep, keep listening, and we're going to be posting a lot more information this next couple days. I'm going to head over to Scraping the Coast here in a couple days, so you guys be good.
Strange.